The enchanting world of Hinge and Bracket.
Dear. Now, Maud, Mr. Trent is popping round.
Oh?
The town clerk, Maud.
Oh, in.
Yes, yes. He wants to talk to us about Saturday's fancy dress dance.
You know, I bet he wants us to do the judging, Hilda.
Almost certain to, dear.
Oh, well, if you're judging, I might enter.
It's a good idea, Maud. I mean, the more the merrier, you know. I say, why don't you and Arthur come as Adam and Eve?
Oh, dear Milda, we wouldn't dare. My Arthur doesn't like showing his body. He gets embarrassed if he rolls up his trousers to go peddling.
I'm not surprised, Maud. I've seen his legs.
When did you see Arthur's legs, dear?
There's nothing wrong with my Arthur's legs.
If only I'm talking to you, when did you see Arthur's legs?
Sort of pale pink they are. Same colour as my bathroom suite.
If only, will you answer me?
At the church pantomime, Hilda. Arthur, if you remember, was an ugly sister. He wore those tights. They were green.
No. They're not green, they're pink.
No, Maud, no, dear, no. No, we're getting confused. No.
Oh, I'll go and let him in.
Maud, dear, would you make some coffee and a few cucumber sandwiches?
Right, I'll get on with it now. I didn't know the doctor'd seen my Arthur's legs.
Well, I shouldn't worry about it, Maud. She seems to have recovered. come in, Teddy.
Hilda, love, how are you?
I'm fine, Teddy.
It's very grand to see you. Hello, Maud, love.
Good morning, Mr. Tranter.
My word, you get more beautiful every time I see you.
Yes. Well, I'm going to make coffee.
Sit down, Teddy.
Thank you, Evadne, love. Well, I'll come straight to the point. You know me, blunt man, don't beat about the bush. Get it said and get it dealt with. No good shilly-shallying going round the back to get to the front. You know what I always say, do it now or don't do it at all. I've always said that, haven't I? Always said that, Hilda.
Always, Teddy, yes.
Right, well, practice what you preach is what I say. Don't say one thing and do another. I've always said that.
Yes.
Right, well, as you know, it's the fancy dress dance on Saturday, and my committee felt that we should invite a celebrity like a famous comedian to do the judging.
Oh, I see.
But I said, and I want you to know this, Hilda, love, it was me that said it. Why do we need a comedian when we've got you two?
Thank you very much, Teddy.
You are celebrities in your own right. I've always said that, so I said I'd ask you. And you know me, I don't mince words. Will you do it?
We'd be delighted, wouldn't we, Hilda?
Thrilled and honored, Teddy.
Grand, grand. Well, that didn't take long.
I hope it's as good a turnout as the last fancy dress that we had in the village.
Oh, Hilda, that was years ago.
I know it was.
I remember. It was hilarious.
Oh, we've laughed about that fancy dress over and over again.
You know I don't remember it at all, Hilda. Love, what year was it?
Oh, it was in 1968, Teddy.
67, dear.
No, it was 68, Evadne.
Oh, I'm sorry, Hilda, but you're wrong. It was 67.
Well, it doesn't really matter, does it? I mean, it's not worth falling out of.
Of course it isn't, Teddy. Anyway, it was 1968.
67.
I'm sorry, Evadne, and you know that I don't like to argue with you, so I'm not going to.
Good.
But it was 1968. I remember it distinctly because, I tell you why, it was the same time that Maud moved house.
That's right, 1967. Yes. Well, we'll soon find out.
Maud, have you got a minute, dear?
Look, does it matter, Hilda?
No, it doesn't matter to me, Teddy. But if Evadne can be so stubborn. Yes. I trust you will not argue with Maud, dear.
Were you calling, Mr. Trenter?
No, dear. It was me. Now, Maud, what year Did you and Arthur move house?
1967.
No, Maud, it wasn't. It was... It was 1968.
1967, Dame Hilda. Just after we had the last fancy dress dance.
Yes, all right, Maud. Will you go and get on with the supper, dear? Yes, yes, yes. Do you know, I never thought Maud's memory would go like that.
Hilda Brackett, it was 1967, and you knew it.
You know, dear, really, you're taking this far too seriously, that. Anyway, Teddy, it was 1967. Or 1968.
It wasn't in August, was it?
No, September.
August, dear. Should we ask Maud again?
No point. Her memory's gone. Anyway, it was August or September.
Well, that would explain it. I was in hospital with my stomach.
Yes, well... I would hardly expect you to be in hospital without it. I bet you wish you'd thought of that, didn't you, dear?
I did, Hilda. I was just too ashamed to mention it. Get on with the story, dear.
Yes, yes. Well, you keep interrupting me, you see, dear. Anyway, Maud came as Britannia, and she looked so funny, didn't she?
She still does, dear.
She was wearing a brass coal scuttle for a helmet, you see. And it was quite big and rather heavy, so every time it fell forward, you couldn't see her face.
And I've been trying to get her to wear it ever since, you know. Oh, tell Teddy about the vicar, Hilda.
Oh, yes. Now, this is funny, Teddy. Teddy, you're going to like this. The vicar arrived quite late, and he made a spectacular entrance, though.
Who did he come as?
Mae West.
Not Donald Smollett.
Yes, Donald Smollett. You see, he'd borrowed a wig from the Operatic Society wardrobe. He put on one of his wife's dresses, and he stuffed two balloons down the front.
He caused a sensation, didn't he?
Oh, yes, you could say that. Because one of his balloons was bigger than the other, you know.
Oh, and then, if you remember, he danced with Miss Primley, who had come as the spirit of Christmas.
Yes, but unfortunately, she had a sprig of holly in her hair. And as you know, she's not very tall. Well, as I say, you see, one of Donald's balloons was sticking out a bit further than the other, and... But it wasn't that way for long, anyway.
Oh, I wish I'd seen it.
It was very funny, Teddy. You were, there was Mae West with only one half of her equipment.
Yes. Yeah. Mind you, Evadne, full marks to Donald for resourcefulness. He took off his wig. He pushed his remaining bosom round the back. And do you know he got third prize as the Hunchback of Notre Dame?
A lovely picture, isn't it, you know? Quasimodo in a dress.
Swinging on a bell rope and saying, come up and see me sometime.
Well, what did you go as, Hilda?
Well, Evadne and I, listen to this, Evadne and I went as Laurel and Hardy.
Yeah. But I don't think we quite captured the characters.
Why was that?
We won first prize as Hitler and Mussolini. Of course, you were bigger then, weren't you?
Oh, I was
dear?
Much bigger than
yesterday. Oh, Maud, how's the supper coming along, dear?
Tidden. I've had a bit of an accident, David.
Here we go.
Did you put that jar of gravy browning on the top shelf?
Yes, dear.
I thought it were coffee.
Oh, dear. So, what's happened, Maud?
Well, I've made 2 pints of gravy.
Well done, Maud.
With milk. Mind you, it didn't taste bad. And with 3 sugars, you can hardly tell the difference.
Yes, well, I don't think we'll risk it, dear. How are the cucumber sandwiches?
They aren't.
What do you mean, Maud?
I sat on them. I just put them down on a chair for a minute, because I was short of room. and I'd forgot about him.
Until you sat down.
Yes.
Yes. Maud, you are hopeless.
Well, I don't do these things on purpose.
No, of course you don't, dear. Of course not. I mean, if you did, we'd probably be living in a hole.
Is there anything left at all in the kitchen, Maud?
We can't all be musical.
Sorry about that little contretemps, Teddy. Now, what were we talking about?
The fancy dress dance, Hilda, love.
Oh, yes.
Now, I do have another favour to ask you. As you know, I am on the hospital board.
Oh, been having trouble with your back, have you?
No, the Board of Governors.
Oh, yeah.
And they've been pestering me to organise more hospital broadcasts, so I thought, why don't we combine the fancy dress dance with an all-star cabaret relay to the patients?
And who did you have in mind for the cabaret?
Well, who else but you two?
Oh, what a surprise, isn't it, Evadne?
Not really, dear.
Of course. I don't expect you to do it all on your own. I'll be helping out.
But you don't sing, Teddy.
No, I shall provide the variety with my conjuring.
Yes. Now, I think the patients will enjoy listening to a little bit of conjuring on their head.
Well, so do I, love. It's a new experience. We should be able to manage 15 minutes between us, something to round off the evening. So what do you say?
Well, 15 minutes is hardly a marathon broadcast, isn't it?
Oh, I shall ask the band to fill in with a few numbers. You see, I've managed to book Charlie Bainbridge and the Stacton Orpheans Orchestra.
Oh, can all three of them come?
Of course. They're going to play for dancing as well.
Yes, well, of course, there's nothing like a challenge.
Yes. Well, full marks, Teddy. It does sound as though Saturday will be the social event of the year.
Well, been a successful evening so far, Evadne.
Despite the band.
Well, I do agree with you that Charlie Bainbridge is far from being a Victor Sylvester.
Yes, it must be difficult conducting a three-piece orchestra from the bar.
Yeah. And you know, after he'd played four successive St. Bernard waltzes, I had the feeling I was at Crufts.
Yes, I know what you mean.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. Thank you very much. Quiet, please. Now, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Bill. Bill, do you mind? I asked for a roll on the drums, not an impression of Star Wars. Will somebody give him a nudge? Thanks, Fred. There was no need to hit him with the cymbals. Now, I'd like to call on our good friends, Dame Hilda and the Doctor, to give us the results of the fancy dress competition. Just speak normally into the microphone. You don't have to shout.
A mine of information, isn't it?
Now then, ladies and gentlemen, judging the fancy dress was, I can say, quite a difficult task. Many of the costumes caught my eye, especially King Neptune's trident. Very painful. Well done, Vicar. No, don't come forward, Donald, no, because, you know, you haven't won, I'm afraid. Better luck next year, but change your seaweed. And now another imaginative costume was that of Mr. Flathers, dressed as a chicken.
Feathers everywhere.
Splendid effort. No, sorry, dear, you didn't win a prize either. So you can go back and sit on your perch. Unless you're feeling broody.
Can we get on with the prize giving,
oh,
Hilda?
Yes, very well. Well, now I'll read them in reverse order, because that's what they say, you see.
Yes, I know.
Yes.
In third place, we have chosen...
Oh, are you announcing this one, dear?
Well, I thought I might.
I see. Carry on then, I don't mind.
Are you sure?
Absolutely, yes.
Good. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we felt...
Although you did say you would leave it to me.
I've changed my mind, Hilda, as I was saying. In third place, we have chosen our worthy headmistress...
Of Stacton Girls High.
Miss Primley, for her portrayal of Cleopatra. Now, we would have awarded more marks to Miss Primley's Cleopatra...
But we felt that no matter how cold it was, the Queen of the Nile would not have worn a Fair Isle cardigan.
Well, thank you for allowing me to make the announcement, Hilda. Or most of it.
Not at all.
My pleasure.
Which brings us to second place. And this was won by our own Maud Print, dear Maud, who I thought personally was perfect as the Laughing Cavalier.
I think she's supposed to be the Mona Lisa, dear. I don't care if she's supposed to be Whistler's mother. She's won a set of curlers.
Finally, here is the moment we've all been waiting for. First prize, and it goes to Mrs. Trent, Teddy's wife. Peggy, our town clerk's good lady, and WI president.
Why don't you issue an identical picture, dear?
You're being silly, dear.
We thought she looked charming as Madame de Pompadour.
Yes, especially the crinoline.
That isn't a crinoline, dear, it's her.
Ladies and gentlemen, we thought she stood out a mile in front of any other competitor. So we have no hesitation in awarding the first prize to Peggy Trenter. There you are, Peggy, dear. A lovely long-playing record. Elsie Jones live at Las Vegas. Oh, no, sorry, Elton John.
I wonder who she is.
Well, I don't know.
Right, well, it's cabaret time, and I hope all you lovely patients listening in hospital won't have gone to bed.
They're in bed all the time.
Yes, but I mean, you know what I mean, dear. Ladies and gentlemen, now to introduce our cabaret, here is our compere. Your own...
Wait for it.
Your very own town clerk, Teddy, a smile, a song, and a rich demand, Trenter.
Thank you, Hilda. Love, well, you know me, man of few words. What can I say about the first turn? Here they are, Dame Hilda and the Doctor.
Thank you, Teddy.
Wasn't really worth it, was it? I don't know.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, for our first spot, as we say in the business, for those of you who aren't professionals, we have written some special words to celebrate this evening, and we hope the people we're singing about won't be offended. It's just our bit of fun, you see, so off you go, dear.
It's a very nice place with very nice houses and quite a lot of space.
Will I sing soprano?
Thank you.
When she isn't singing bass.
Well, you know what it's like in the morning. For when Hilda starts singing, it fills me with dread. She sings everywhere, yes, even in bed.
Well, the sound of a piano would awaken the dead, and it sounds even worse in the morning.
Dear Ken, Maud Print, our very good friend, to our house so neat, she will often attend.
You know, she sends me right from the bed.
Well, she's not very bright in the morning. Dear Ken, Teddy Trenter, he's our town clerk. They say that his bite is worse than his bark.
He's quite good looking when he sits in the dark. But oh, what a change in the morning.
What we say is just a bit of fun for the cabaret.
So let's have a drink.
Cheers. For the end of the day. And we shall knock it home till the morning.
Wonderful, Elder Love, wonderful. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's magic in the modern manner with me, Teddy Trenter, alias the great Mystico. And for my first trick, I would like the assistance of a young lady.
I'll help you, Mr. Trenter.
Round of applause for Maud. Now, could I borrow a wristwatch from somebody?
Oh, come on, Evadne, lend him yours.
Oh, no, I couldn't, dear. It was Father's.
Well, it's only a trick, you know, dear. Here you are, Teddy. Evadne will lend you her.
No, I won't, Hilda.
Of course you will, dear.
Now, don't worry, Evadne, love. It's a trick. Now, I wrap the watch up in this silk handkerchief. Voila. Now, Evadne, love, can you feel the watch inside this hanky?
Yes, yes, it's still there.
Good. Now, Maud, on the table over there, you'll find a large hammer.
Oh, no.
This is what I want you to do.
I think we all know what you want her to do, Teddy. And you couldn't have asked a better person, then.
I put the handkerchief on the table, and you smash it with the hammer.
Oh, well, I couldn't do that, Mr. Tranter. I might break the watch.
But he wants you to break the watch, Maud.
You mean deliberately?
Off you go, Maud.
Oh, I don't like doing this at all.
Oh, dear, she's broken the table.
Don't worry, ladies and gentlemen. I say the magic words, Ozzy, Ozzy, Ozzy. I open the hanky and I've done it wrong. Hilda, I've done it wrong.
Never mind, Hilda, it's my watch. It was your watch, Evadne.
Maud, you fool, you've messed it up.
Well, don't blame me. I only did as I were told.
Hilda, what's Mother going to say?
Well, let's hope she knows some better magic words than Teddy.
I'm awfully sorry, ladies and gentlemen, but this has never happened before. It worked when I rehearsed it with the Pontefract cake.
Yes, well, of course, they take some breaking Pontefract cakes. How much time have we left, Evadne? Oh, I'm sorry, dear. Of course, you wouldn't know, would you? Now, as most of you do know, our headmistress, Miss Primley, occasionally puts pen to paper in poetic muse. And tonight is no exception, I'm afraid. And the poem she has written for this evening is entitled Rural Bacchanalia. Wherever that is. I think you turn left at Stratton Barber. And accompany me on the piano, as ever, of course, will be Dr. Hinge. Thank you, dear. Salute! Salute! To fancy dress, where oft we find security in others' egos. For we are not ourselves when someone else, the henpecked husband, now becomes the Emperor Napoleon. But to his wife he still remains a little man with hand on rounded belly to ease his indigestion. Applause! Applause! To a carnival. Mutter, mumble to himself. There must be a better way of earning a living than this. He cries, salute to fancy dress, and falls down drunk. Thank you. Thank you very much, Miss Primley.
Merci.
I think you have captured, what do you think she's captured, dear?
I think something surrendered, dear.
Well, it's given us all food for thought. And now to all you patients who are not asleep, to round off our evening's entertainment, the doctor and I would like to sing for you one of our own favourite pieces, which we don't sing very often. And it comes from one of the early shows of Dear Noel Coward, Conversation Piece. Thank you. When I see the soldiers marching by, with fife and drum beneath the summer sky,
to do or die,
they spread their wings, my spirit sings with joy. Think of all the battles they have won, the sun. Right, left, right.
right, left, march, little soldiers. We all adore you. We stood before you if we thought that you would care. Whatever befalls you, if duty calls you, we would love to be there to share all your troubles that we never dare. You ain't quite prepared to share you to victory, to joy or despair. Joy or despair, that's only fair. Dear little soldiers, admire us, and we desire us on returning to the fray. We to surrender. You'll find us tender and sublimely unresisting in assisting you to spend your soldiers. Pay, pay, pay. On returning to the fray, we'd soon surrender. You'd find us tender and sublimely unresisting in assisting you to spend your soldier. Hey, 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 hey!
In their enchanting world, Hinge and Brackett were joined by beguiling Daphne Hurd as Maud and jovial John Savident as Teddy Tranter. The program is written by that delightful trio, Mike Craig, Laurie Kinsley and Ron McDonald, and produced in fragrant Manchester by gentleman James Casey.